Blog Talk Radio.
Your attention, please. Pay attention, please. Be a witness. We got heroes and heroes risking their lives, bringing truth to the light. They're bringing truth to the light. Your attention, please. Pay attention, please.
I could write a legend to the ledger, and y'all would understand the rules.
All right, peace and blessings, and welcome to the Artist Roundtable here on Flavor News Radio. This is a forum, a safe forum for all artists of all art forms to call in and just put their thoughts and concerns on the table in hopes that other artists will call in and we can open up a dialogue around that particular subject. I've got some subjects I've written down that maybe we can put on the table, but I really want to hear from you, the artist, and see what you've got going on in that little head of yours. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. I was looking through my journal. I have a journal for almost every show that I do, and I write down what was discussed. I write down what I played, who called in, this, that, and the other. I kind of like doing that. It just kind of keeps me aware, you know, of the experience and something to reference back on. I actually have not done an artist roundtable since July 28th. I took a big break from this show. So anyway, I'm excited. I'm going to try to get this back going maybe the last Thursday of every month and see if we can just keep a dialogue going and see who we can twist their arms to, you know, come and call in and participate in a conversation. But you know how I do it. If you're aware of who I am and what I do, it's all about the underground independent artist. That's my passion. That's what I strive to work towards, putting artists that are underground, consider themselves underground or independent artists, striving to get to that next level. You can still be a very successful independent artist. So, but I'm kind of like into like supporting those that are kind of really doing it on their own, you know, coming up with their own hustle and grind and, you know, trying to get out there and get recognized. Although what I do is very small, it is just another way, you know, to help you guys get out there. I've got a pretty big following from Flavor News Radio and soon have the opportunity, once I can get all my computer situation together, I have the opportunity to be able to take you to three other radio stations that are heard globally and recognized. But I'm going to start out the Tonight Show with a piece that I just think has a great message. I was honored to have this artist, these two artists, allow me to use this for a project that I was working on. And hopefully maybe we'll still be able to use this piece. But this piece is called Believe, and it's by an artist by the name of Sophia May. At this time, she was out of London. She now lives in New York. The Sophia May and Mo Rock. Again, this song is called Believe.
Mo Rock. Yeah. Sophia May. Yeah. Anything you can perceive, you can achieve. Yeah. You can have whatever you want. Let's go.
If it's right in your sight, I believe anything worth love is worth a fight. I believe if you study the day, study the night. I believe if you're doing some wrong, double your rights. I believe you want success, you got the keys. Put your mind to it and watch, you can achieve. I believe in the road, believe in the passion. Believe you can have anything you can imagine. Believe in the struggle, believe in the process. Each and every day that you can, you make progress. And never let them take your dream. Only negativity can really break the team. So trust, to get to where we going is a must. Only energy you need is the one with a plus. Move forward, never look back. What's in the past, gotta leave. Keep your head up if you believe.
Yeah.
live through the pain. Stand through the struggle, I believe in the change. King had a dream, peace on the scene. X out the hate was done by any means. Ride for a cause, still hear the call. One day maybe we'll live without wars. Raise every seed, give them what they need. Show them how to follow their heart and how to lead. Aim for the sky, still gotta try. Only if you tell them the truth and not a lie. One man doing it all is an illusion, but unity done for a cause is revolution. I believe in me. Matter of fact, I believe in we. So we feed the tree, let it grow till it touch the stars. Let the love be the time that'll heal us all. Chill. Whatever you want, let's get to it. Let's go.
That amazing piece is called Believe, and it is done by Sophia May in Morocco. At the time this was recorded, Sophia May was still living in London, but she has now relocated to New York to work with an artist out of there and to do her recordings and all out of New York. So that's kind of along the line of one of the subjects I thought that I would be willing to throw on the table. But you know what? Let me go in a different direction with another piece, and maybe you can guess why I chose this one. This piece is called The New You, and it's done by a dear friend of mine, Baron Parker.
Leave your troubles at the door. they're gone.
You just found the new you, and it looks good on you. You wear it well. You're going to be very happy, I can tell. This is how you're meant to be, full of life, hope, and energy. It's a new you. It's a new you. It's the new you. Welcome back to the world. Open your eyes and see.
Just listening to The New You by a dear friend of mine, Baron Parker, out of the Baltimore, Maryland area. So if you can't guess why I played that particular track, it's just, you know, let me just kind of break it down for you. The first track that I played, well, actually, I started out tonight with an intro that is created by my family, Black Stacks, out of Seattle, Washington, and I played Pay Attention, Please. And I've seen Felicia sing this particular piece as, you know, and sitting on a step of the stage and with her head down, hat on her head, and she starts singing, you know, Pay Attention, Please. And the crowd around her is just kind of, you know, mingling and talking, and they don't even realize that Black Stacks is on the stage. And then all of a sudden, gradually, she gets up, you know, and it's just powerful, like, pay attention. So I think that, you know, you as an underground independent artist, and when I say that, I'm not just necessarily speaking of musical audio talents. I'm talking about anybody who is an artist that's struggling to get out there, whether you are a self-published author, whether you are an unknown painter, you know, graphic designer, whatever your talent is, and you're not quite out there yet where people are just knowing your name and saying your name. You know, to me, you're one of those artists that I would definitely try to step up and show my support in any way I can. And so I know that you want to just sometimes scream and say, you know, pay attention, please. Pay attention to who I am. I want that for myself. I want people to say, you know, pay attention to me. I started out the show with that. Then I went into Believe by Sophia May and Mo Rock. And Believe is about, you know, believing in yourself and knowing that you can achieve whatever you put your mind to. You know, I think a lot of what you do as an artist, you have to just strongly believe within you that you have what it takes, that you have the tools to connect with the right people, to create the right healthy relationships, and to always, always strive to make new moves and to take steps forward. And then this last piece by Baron, you know, called The New You. You know, sometimes we need a cleansing. sometimes we need to say, you know what, that worked then, but it's not going to work now. So what can I do to change and alter what I'm doing right now to make my world work, you know, tomorrow in the future? And so that's I had a motive. You know, I had a plan as to why I played the tracks that I did. I did come up with some ideas of topics, though. I wrote down, and I'm open to any other topic, though. You know, the Artist Roundtable is for you to call in and talk about any other topic that you want to put on the table. And so I wrote down respect in the industry, loyalty in the industry, how do you know you have taken steps that will help you go to the next level, and what does that really look like and mean? Talking about cleansing, what does that mean? Does that mean just changing your environment? Does it mean changing the people that you work with? You know, what does that really, really mean when we talk about cleansing? And, you know, and are things taking place right now that, you know, you would want to, you know, look into cleansing to go to the next level, you know, in 2012? And then going back to believing in yourself. So, yay, my phone line is lighting up. I'm so excited. So let me bring in the first caller. Caller from the 843 area code. You are on the air with Lady Flavor.
Hey, Lady Flavor. This is Elon Keith.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I was in the process of calling Monica, and she was like, Lady Flavor's on the air. I was like, okay, let me call in. So I'm calling to say hi, see how you're doing.
Okay. I'm so excited that you called in, Halon Keith. For those of you that don't know, he is one of the newer artists that I play on my show. He has a beautiful, beautiful track out that's called The Journey of Love. And I'm really hoping that in the near future we'll be getting more music to play by Halon Keith, but I was introduced to him by Monica Monet out of Jacksonville, and sometimes Halon sings with Monica. So I'm excited that you called in. Did you get some food last night?
Well, yeah, I got a little something. I'm actually eating some cheeseburgers now. I shouldn't be eating, but
I'm like, I told Monica, good. I said, you know, he's always talking about he's hungry. I mean, like, I'm like, okay, didn't he talk about, like, on one holiday some turtle stew? I'm like, what y'all eat down there in Jacksonville? Like, who eats, like,
frog
turtle stew or
frog
whatever? A frog, okay. You know, whatever. Yeah. You know, I'm up here in Washington. We don't eat stuff like that, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
So do you... you know what? I'm coming to Jacksonville. I don't know if Monica told you, but I'm coming to Jacksonville. So when I come to Jacksonville, I do expect to hear you sing also.
Yes, ma'am, definitely. I'll sing just for you.
Okay, you better plan on that. So do you even know what show you called into?
Yeah, this is the Roundtable, right?
Yeah, oh, I just wanted to make sure. I'm not sure if he knows what he called into. So normally, Halon, we... you know, I open up the phone lines for discussions with a variety of artists. And usually it is, honestly, recording artists. But it's like, you know, topics that might, you know, weigh on their minds or, you know, even they want to share something of a success, you know, that they have experienced as an artist. But it's kind of like, you know, just being able to talk to your peers about, you know, something that you might – you know, want to discuss and get their input. And in the past, we've had some absolutely amazing, amazing conversations that have taken place with artists from around the world. There was even a show that one of the artists that I work with from Switzerland, you know, he called in from Switzerland. And so it's just something I really love doing. I haven't actually done one since July. And I was like, really? I haven't done one since July? I'm just really slacking. But I don't know if you heard the topics that I kind of threw out there for suggestion, and I don't know if you have a suggestion of something we might put on the table. And Monica Monet, I just want you to know your phone line's open.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
What's up, Monica?
Hey, Keith. I hope I don't call you by your real name. Don't say no Alon to me. That's my little brother.
Yeah, he treats me just like it too.
Monica will she will testify to this. I believe she will tell the truth. I'll be defending you. I just want you to know. I defend you with Monica Monet. I do. I'm like, be nice to him. I'm like, Monica, don't I tell you to be nice?
Yeah, she does tell me to be nice.
This remind me to choke you later.
Look, that's my little brother. I got to hit him upside the head.
Okay, y'all have to stay alive. Be nice to him because when I come to Jackson Valley, y'all have to take me to IHOP. Not that I don't go to IHOP all the time up
definitely.
Here in Seattle.
We'll take you to IHOP,
by name.
But
yeah.
We're going to get Jason to cook. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to get Halon to cook.
We're going to have lemon black beans. That's my favorite.
No black beans. Halon Keith. No black
beans. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, he's going to make sure that he's on the ship that weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, let me bring in one other caller before we open up this discussion.
Okay,
so John D. Green Sr., welcome to the Artist Roundtable.
Hey, Flavin, how are you?
Hey, John.
I'm good.
Monica.
How are you?
And the other artist is also out of Jacksonville. His name is Halon Keith. Have you heard me play Halon on my show?
Yes, I have. I want to talk some more about these frog legs in this turtle suit, though.
I know that's right.
she got it mixed up. It's called frogmo stew, but it's crab legs and sausage and potatoes and stuff like that.
But you got frog legs in it.
Okay.
But you got frog legs.
Okay. It just sounds nasty. Whatever it is, John.
I get down that way, sweetie. If it smells good, it looks good. If it can't eat me, I'm going to eat it. So it's going down.
I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't even know how they make it, but I eat it.
I'm sure he said turtle stew, though.
No.
And I get the impression, John, that Halon Keith will just eat anything because he's hungry. If you become friends with him, on Facebook, he is always posting he's hungry. I'm like,
but the fact about it, he always stay on the diet.
Yeah, I try to.
Yeah.
And I'm trying
he's always hungry.
Now.
I'm trying these new things now, so hopefully they work.
Yeah, it tastes like birthday cake. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and to tell all his business, I believe, Halon, you're a merchant marine, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So I told him, I said, just wink at some of the women on shore or something. Come on, send out a SOS, get some of them women to start, tossing some food up there on the ship to you.
Yeah, all their husbands gone, so let me stop.
All they what?
Nothing. We're not even going to go there. Let's just go back. I'll just play it.
No, you won't. I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah. Don't make me have to, defend you some more.
It's all good things, Halon Keith. All good things.
Yes, ma'am.
You know I love you.
All right. Now to get to the serious business, because the people that are listening and hanging on the phone line and everything, I do want them to know I'm a serious person. Actually, it's kind of fun to laugh, though. So that's I need to laugh more, okay? So, yeah. Anyway, so did y'all hear my topics I threw out there for the potential dialogue tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Should I read my list again?
You could. A little reiteration isn't bad, but I think we pretty much got them. They were good topics.
Okay. So does anybody, do you like, one of those topics? Or do you guys, one of you or whatever, do you have topics you would like to discuss?
Well, me personally, I'm all about listening because I'm new to to this whole music industry and everything. I've been singing for a while, and we've made, like, a little record or whatever, but I've never gotten to, like, well, I really don't know anything about royalties and, you know, things like of that nature. Monica, she's teaching me a lot, but it'd be nice to hear about some of those things from you guys, you who, you know, actually, you know, at that point.
Well, Monica, I guess this is the part where we do what we do then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's what we do, what we do.
Yeah, because one of the topics you mentioned was loyalties in the industry. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a whole show in itself, right?
Yeah. And, hey, Ron Key.
Oh, you know what?
He is amazing. Not only is he an amazing artist, but he does realize loyalty, too. I remember a lot of times we travel and sing. He got us lost one time, about an hour, but that's okay because he would be like, I try to offer him money or something. He'd be like, no, put that in the car for gas. You know what I'm saying? So that means a lot to me a lot of times because he know how hard it is, but when his album comes out, it's going to be beautiful. So, yeah, so I can, you know, he's loyal to me. So thank you for that. So it means a lot to have loyal people on your side like you, Lady Flavor, and you, John, how you always support.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that loyalty, I think especially when it comes to the industry, I think that we face challenges all the time when it comes to just even loyalty in our own families, to loyalty amongst our friends or those that we consider our friends. But I think loyalty in the industry is something that's really important because as you guys step in there, and Halon, as you step out more into this industry, it can be a dog-eat-dog world, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you don't necessarily know who's being for real and who's, you know, being honest and upfront with you. I notice that there are people who are jumping ship, you know, and constantly keeping their feet in a whole bunch of places, trying to figure out what's, you know, the best place to be, which I kind of can understand where you're wanting to fill things out, but at the same time, like, okay, don't be going around using situations and then, you know, in a sense, abandoning them, you know, or whatever, or, you know, going and talking about, you know, whom you're dealing with to others or whatever, you know. So let me, before we go any further, let me bring in another caller, and I'm hoping I know who this is. Okay, so I'm just going to cross my finger and throw a name out there, and hopefully I'm saying the right name. Is this the Cloak?
Yes, it is, Lady Flavor. What's good?
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
What's happening, good people?
Hi.
So does everybody know who the Cloak is? The Cloak is a hip-hop artist. Monica should know who the Cloak is.
I know who he is. What's up? This is my first time ever actually hearing his voice before he's talking, you know. How are you?
Right. I am doing good. And yourself?
I can't complain.
I hear that.
Okay, so, DeCloak, are you in Illinois or are you in Michigan?
Actually, I am on the move. I am no longer in Illinois. I am now in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh.
Oh, you're in Minnesota.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm no longer in. Yeah, I'm you know, just stepping out and stepping into other you know, other areas in the Midwest right now. Looking to make some moves towards California and New York as well. So.
That's what's up.
Oh. Okay. So are these moves that you're making having to do with your musical career?
No, actually, I'm out here with family and friends and everybody else. So, you know, that's just basically what I'm doing right now. Like, everybody's been asking me, too, like, oh, are you still in Chicago? I'm like, no. They'll keep coming back to do another show. I'm like, you have a venue, you have an event, you know my number, give me a call.
Okay. All right. So, The Cloak, I know that you agreed, and I do plan on doing, I do think that I'm going to go ahead and do my show on hip-hop, so I was so excited that you were willing to participate in that if, you know, if I, no, I'm going to say when I do this show, because it's something that I really, really want to have a discussion about with the hip-hop community. So, John, when I do this show, you're going to be my bodyguard. I'm not a bodyguard.
First class, I'll step down there. I'm going to hang out with the hip-hop community and see what's what. See how them cats do their thing down there in Seattle.
Yeah, we're going to have to get you out here to Seattle, too. But yeah, so anyway.
Yeah, you know, I might want to fatten up my licks, and, you know, I might want to try my little flow.
Well,
I might want to, you know. At least I know if I get out there and I try my little flow and I mess it up. I know hip hop artists will blaze me straight righteously and make me not do it again. So maybe I need to get on the mic in front of some hip hop artists, get blazed the right way. You know?
Okay, you know what, John? Just bring your keyboards and do your own thing, right?
But I just back them up and they can flow to my sound. That's what I'll do. That's my sound. No,
Lord,
but
I'm looking for somebody who can really do that too. So, you know, I just might take them up on that. You just, Lady Flavor, you just might give me the freestyle on that show. So,
okay, but I would love that. I really would.
Oh, we could lay it down, but Flavor, you know, you mentioned something that really, I guess it struck a particular chord now, because of all the events that are taking place. You talked about loyalty in the industry. Now, earlier you had mentioned that you understand people stepping out and trying to, you know, pretty much put their foot into different things. I'm all for that. Flavor, you've been right there. You've been an instrumental part of my journey. You know how many doors I've opened and knocked on and been thrown out of and you know, how many doors I've kicked down, so to speak. But my thing is the commitments that I made. I stay loyal to the commitments that I made because I made the commitment. I put my name, you know, I put my word, I will be here, I will do this. And I never let my other commitments get in the way of the foremost commitments that I make. You're making these commitments. We're people. I mean, we're artists, and people say we're sensitive and we're moody and we're, you know, we're hard to read. And I understand that because I am. I'm one moody dude. But I'm loyal. And when I make a commitment, I keep that commitment. I understand going into it that things aren't always going to be the way I want them, especially when it comes to working with other artists. We're all creative souls. So it's a whole bunch of creativity going into a project, especially if you're collaborating. The loyalty is, can I stand by you and shift around the things in which I need to shift around in order to make our, emphasis on the word our, project work? If we're collaborating, we're bringing both of our ideas or six of our ideas or all of our ideas to one table to make one meal. The recipe might not be the same as what you do at home. But you agree to, in this instance, let's say, we're collaborating. So then let's collaborate. Collaboration doesn't mean, okay, Monica, you can sing real good, but I need you to sing it this way. Exactly. Don't put Monica on it. I want it to be all John, but in a pretty voice. That's not collaborating.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That's me just saying, hey, why don't I just pay you to say exactly what I need you to say? Then why did I ask you to collaborate? You see what I'm saying? That the loyalty comes with, I mean, I believe there's a lot of facets of loyalty. Part of it is being able to sway and move with the way the wind's blowing in order to get the job done. But I also believe it's being able to honor your commitments and stay in there. Because it's not going to be easy. And if any artist can tell you that, oh, it was an easy climb for me, then I'd like to know their secret. Because it's not easy. But I'm starting
to see that loyalties
are fleeting. They're not what they used to be, I feel like. And they're not, the loyalties are surface loyalties. And it's a very painful thing. And we go into this, you got to remember, just about every artist I know that's a real artist, our music, our paintings, our portraits, our poetry, that's just like our children to us. So when we put them in your hands, that's like saying, hold my newborn. You wouldn't drop a newborn. You know, you wouldn't abuse the newborn. You would treat it like it's the most precious thing. And to us, the music and the poetry and the art, it's the exact same way. I've seen so many things happen over music, you know, because it means that much to us. A lot goes into these pieces. Yeah. And to have someone come along under the roof of being close and cool and working and collaborate, and then to do you wrong, it's just like, well, abusing your child. The loyalty is very deep, and I think that people, they abuse that term now because it's almost like we should expect to get screwed around. But it's the pain is the same. You see what I'm saying? The pain is the same. And every time you hope for the best, and they tell you to hope for the best and prepare for the worst, but you're never truly prepared for that because you want things to be a certain way. So you count on loyalty that, unfortunately, I'm seeing, you can't really count on. You want it, but you can't count on it.
Right. Is there any of the panelists, Monica, Halon, or the Cloak, want to chime in with John on that?
Actually, I would have to piggyback on what John is saying because I work with a lot of artists, both hip hop and other, and for the most part, it's not collaboration if it's, you know, if you have specifics. You know what I'm saying? It's not really a collaboration. You're not asking me to do what I do over the track if you have specifics. Now, I work with an artist by the name of CKG the Don, and you know, we got together, we're both lyricists, but he does more commercialized rap than I do, you know, but we're both lyricists, and he was like, oh, man, I just want you to do your thing. I was like, you sure? I was like, you sure, you sure? He's like, yeah, I'm sure, just come in and do what you do. All I need you to do is do this hook a certain way for me or whatever, and I was like, okay, cool, that's no problem. To me, that's collaboration because he had a certain idea for the hook, but he really did want me to do me as far as my verses and everything else. And I was like, okay, I'm cool with that. And after it was said and done, the track came out beautiful. Like, so, you know, when it comes to collaboration, you know, what do you want a person to do? Do you want them to really bring to the table what you feel as though you heard? You know, when you were listening to that instrumental, you heard them on that instrumental, do you want them to bring that to the table, or do you have a structured format for what you want? You have to make up your mind on this one. It's either or. It can't be both.
Right.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah,
well said.
Right. I agree. I think it is well said, especially when you are working on a project together. It's not a one-man show. You're depending on others to, you know, create this one piece together. And I think that a lot of it, I'm as I'm listening to John talk and to Cloak talk, I think about, you know, going back to, you know, the loyalty of the industry and why those type of relationships break down. I think a lot of it comes into not having the ability to clearly, effectively communicate.
Right.
And then I think the other part would be to it is not being honest about your motivation of getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? Do you think that could be the reasons for the breakdown of what we might have assumed in the beginning, a loyal relationship?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, the people tend to keep their motives to themselves, whereas putting your motive for whatever you're doing, because a lot of people are money motivated. I want to do this track because I want to get paid. There are other people that want to do a track because they want to be heard. Whatever the reason is, your motives are just as important as your music in my case. Put your motives out there, because if I tell my producer, whoever I'm working with, that this is the motivation behind this track, then at least he can build the track with that motivation in mind. You know, I want to be a star. I want to be the most important person on the track. If that's the case, then let it be known, because that way everyone working with you knows your motive off the top.
Right.
They can either agree or disagree, but at least it's known. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No hidden agendas. No, you know, oh yeah, it's all love until, you know.
Until.
Right. Until it's like, I people fast forwarding through my verse and not listening to me, and everybody y'all caught up in your verse. I don't know. Don't ask me. Ask the public. Don't ask me.
And then the hatred, the little behind the scenes hatred that goes on, that breaks down, like you said, that breaks down the loyalty. We go into this expecting a certain, and I know we shouldn't expect anything, but I'm speaking personally. You go into this type of thing expecting a bit of loyalty, at least because of the severity of what we're going into. This is my, I don't play when it comes to my music, man, at all. My music is as serious as, you know, but when I go into this with you, I'm sharing something with you, and you're sharing something that must be equally important to you in my mind as mm-hmm. my music is to me. So that loyalty, you would assume it would be there, and it's bad to assume. I'm totally aware of that. For all the teachers listening, I know assuming anything is very bad, but it's almost like I expect this, because who would go into something so serious half-minded?
Exactly.
You know, but I'm seeing that this happens all the time. The breakdown of loyalty is a big thing because it affects you directly. You know, it's, some of those ties can't be rebuilt. You know, at least not with me, they can't. I'll put it out there.
All right, I'll be honest about it. Like, my motive for doing what I do is purely a love for music. I'm not gonna like, you know, kind of backtrack my statement or whatever, because people might feel a certain way. I'm not going to do that. My reasons for doing music are not everybody else's reasons for doing music, and I respect everybody's reasons for doing music. If you're doing it for money, man, let it be that. If you're doing it for fame, fortune, you know, whatever the case might be, cool. But that's not why I do it. So when it comes to me working with artists, I ask them, what are you looking for, you know, particular track? They be like, okay, well, I want you to spit about this or whatever the case may be. Cool. But realize certain things and certain convictions, and me being a part of a culture that's, as I can see, has been long forgotten, the original, the essence of hip-hop, where hip-hop originally came from, I'm not going to do certain tracks. And that's just being real. Like, I have literal blood ties to this industry with a lot of artists. I will not say their names. They shall remain nameless. But I have blood ties with a lot of these people. And, you know, we talk about music. They listen to my music. I listen to this. You know, I'll be like, oh, okay, I like this. Or I keep it 100 with them. And, that's not really my thing. I don't do this kind of music, or I don't really get into this kind of music because it's not my thing. And they respect me, and I respect them. But at the end of the day, it's like there is no hidden, you know, whatever. They've asked me to get on tracks with them, and I'd be like, okay, send me the track. Let me hear what the track sounds like. And I give it a full listen. I don't give it a 30-second. And certain people know who I'm talking about when I say 30 seconds. I ain't going to say no names. You industry heads, y'all know who y'all is, too. I ain't gonna put y'all out there, though. I don't give it a 30 seconds. I give it however long the track is. I listen to the track. Now, if the track is exactly what they told me it was, I do it. But if it's some, you know, oh, yeah, it's this, and I get it, and I'm listening to it, and I'm like, man, what is this garbage? Really? I thought I made this clear to y'all that I don't, you know, I don't indulge in all this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a straight up guy. I don't play with people. I don't pull punches. I don't manipulate people. If we supposed to be, you know, fam in the industry, or fam outside of it, or fam in any sense, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, and certain artists I've worked with, man, they're not as deep within the history of hip hop as I am. And, you know, they ask me to do tracks, whether it's gangster rap or whatever, and, you know, I'll be honest with them now. I ain't on that. And they'll send me another track. It might be something that's a mixture of soul and hip-hop, and I'll be like, okay, what are we talking about on this track? All right, cool, let's do it. Oh, man, real talk, yeah, I'm going to do it. Come on, just, you know, give me the instrumental and let me go. Let me do what I do. and you know, it turns out to be something dope. But it all wraps around that honesty, man. Don't tell me it's this when you know it's that. Don't tell me we over here when you all the way in left field somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't play me. If we supposed to be close, we supposed to be fam, we supposed to be boys, whatever, business partners, be honest with me so I can be honest with you. And ain't no, oh, man, you played me or you ain't never seen your verse or no, you know, nothing like that.
Right.
That's cool. I think a lot of times the issue is that a person would tell you, being honest, and this is what they want, but in reality, it's always like they do have a hidden agenda, you know. I know a lot of times I help, like, a lot of artists out, you know, the best that I can or whatever, like you said, do a hook or even, you know, write some stuff and what have you. And some people are real about it, and some people do tell you, but some people, some artists or whatever, I think that really depends on, like you were saying, where they want to go. But they tell you that, you know, I'm doing it for the love of it, you know, I'm doing it for this, I'm doing it for that. But if they get a little bit of local fame, you see who that person really is, you know. I mean, a lot of times I have did hooks on, like, hip-hop artists, rappers, you know, and I have much love and respect for these artists. But the first time that you may get played on the local radio station in your area, you know, or getting a lot of shows, and then you will really see who that person is, you know. So to the point to where, you know, you give your all to, you know, because I'm a thing like this, you know, if everyone was to get together and push everybody, you know, it's so many different categories in music, so much different music where you're not stepped on nobody's toes. You know what I'm saying? You know,
right.
You might do funk. I might do R&B. You know, you could do in hip-hop. You might do classic hip-hop, you know, in the more mainstream. It's just a lot of people have the hidden agendas. They can be like, yeah, I got your back. Yeah, you know, we're going to do this together. But give them a little bit of fame, you know. And I think as older artists, we sit back and we look up like, I'm going to give him 6 months to a year. You know what I'm saying? And then once that died down, a lot of them get back to their true self. Well, you know, the true self, when you give people money or fame, you see who they really are. When a person is struggling and when a person is trying to get a certain place, a certain level, they're not going to tell you their true agendas. Not everybody, some people, some artists, you know, because they're not going to tell you, I just want you to do this hook so I can get notice over here, and then I'm going to get a singer over there that has more, maybe, you know, whatever, what more mainstream or whatever, you know. But I need you to do this now because I know I can get you to do it for free because you have passion for your craft. You know, and so they know the artists that have the passion for the craft. They know the people that's going to give their all and don't even charge them anything because of the passion of their craft, you know. But then once they get to a certain level, or if you don't do what they feel like you should do, you know, like you were saying, like, I'm not going to rap on everything that I have, you know, views about it. I don't feel that hip hop represent, you know. A lot of people would take that like, you know, like, whatever, man, you know, he ain't down with what I'm down for. You know what I'm saying? So it really depends. I think there's a lot of hidden agendas. I don't got, but with so many artists that have hidden agendas, and once their album come out and once they hit that fame and once they get, like, everybody, you know, invite them to the shows locally. Now, grant you, outside of your city line, nobody knows you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's still a constant grind 24/7. Outside your city line, nobody knows you. You know what I'm saying? But a person will really show you who they are once they get a little bit of the fame or the recognition. That's what I feel. So you really don't know you really don't know who's in and who's not. And so sometimes you can miss out because you have been burnt so many times with lies and, you know, other motives. But
right.
You try not to pass other people by because you might pass the one person by that would have did what they said they was going to do.
I'll tell you what, Monica. Hey, baby girl, I hate the feeling of finding out, though. I got to tell you.
I do too.
It breaks my heart.
It does, man. I'm sensitive, bro. It breaks my heart every time. You would think I'd be used to it.
Are you a Capricorn, John?
No, sweetie. I'm a Taurus. I'm stubborn and bullheaded and, you know, when I mentioned stubborn, I'm the epitome of a Taurus. Got a big bull tattoo on the back of my neck. I'm all messed up. But I'm sensitive to these things. And that to me is the worst. Like I said, the only thing worse would be, you know, dropping my newborn. It breaks my heart every time. Because you constantly think, how could you say and be so passionate about this to turn around and throw it all away over something? So, you know, or to do something that would jeopardize what could be a beautiful thing. You know, I don't get it. So, like I said, I hate learning it because every time it's the same bad, you know.
Mm-hmm. But once you start, you know, one thing about it, when you have users or what people use to get where they want to go, these people begin to do the same thing a lot of times. You know what I'm saying? They always, I ain't saying all of them, but most of them always try to get something for free. You know what I'm saying? They're always around when things are popping off. You know,
yep.
The thing about it is when nothing is popping off, when I'm not posting up on Facebook, when I'm not out performing, they don't call you to see, are you okay? You know what I'm saying? Because as artists, we do go through those down periods where you feel that I have done all this I can do. I'm doing my music, you know, I'm trying to sing, and yet it's still, I feel like I'm running in place like I'm on a treadmill. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times, Only time those people show up or the people, those type of artists show up is when you're popping off. Like, they think you're getting ready to go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, you know what I'm saying? They got to be with you if you go to the next level. But the good thing about God, what I feel, you know, God, he will show you a person who they are when you're making $50. So when you get to your $1 million limit, you don't have to deal with those people. But what we sometimes don't do, we have a hard time of letting go. Instead of saying, I see this person for who they are, and I'm glad that I saw them when I did that hook for free. You know what I'm saying? Or they was on my team when I wasn't making no money because, you know, what would get me pissed off, John, if it's a $1 million deal going down and you acting stupid. Now, that's something to get pissed off about. But, you know, if I'm doing this for to get.
Yeah, in that
you know,
case, I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
I don't play that.
Yeah, you don't play that. But at that point, you know, a lot of times when a person has gotten that loyalty and you know, like, that's my sister, that's my brother, you know, blood, even though that's not, you know, not by, you know, by birth. But you overlook stuff that you got trust with people with when you would do the normal people. So I want to see them for who they are. At the level that I am, so when I get to that next level, I don't have to worry about that cat. Whatever. You show me who you are. When a person show you who they are, believe them and keep it moving.
And you hit on something good because I do overlook sometimes and I know better. But I'll just, you know, turn my head. Damn. Coming to that realization.
And you know. John and Monica and I, I have this conversation with them too. I miss things, you know. I'm beginning to think that sometimes I'm not necessarily the best judge of character, you know, just because, you know, because of some of the stuff that I get. You know, when I put myself out there and I really believe in it, especially if it's a talent first, right? Generally, when it comes to people I connect with. As far as artists, I recognize their talent, you know, then you kind of start building a relationship and whatever that looks like, then I'm like, okay, are you like serious? Did you just say that? Did you just do that? You know, or whatever. And I'm like, I just, you know, I get blindsided because I don't see certain things coming, you know, my direction and stuff. And so, you know, it's just interesting because, you know, like Monica was saying, you know, you don't necessarily want to miss out on an opportunity because of what you've gone through that may have been negative, you know, or where you thought somebody was loyal, you know, to you or the project or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, that breaks down, and you know, maybe the project even stops, you know, because mm-hmm. of a breakdown in what, you know, the connection was and the relationship that was built, you know, to do a project or whatever. And so sometimes I want to say, really, like, okay, how do you really know? How do you know? And I bet you, as all of you, and Halon, I know, is new to this still, may have not experienced this as of yet, but I'm sure all of you have, you know, experienced many different challenges in this industry, because, you know, I know, especially with John and Monica being around in it for a while, and DeCloak, I know you've been working hard, you know, at what you do in connections. Like, I'm sure you've all run into those bad relationships, you know, and when you do run into those bad relationships, what does that do to you? But before you kind of answer that, or we go any further, I want to just welcome everybody to the Artist Roundtable. I want to thank everybody who's hanging out in the chat room. I want to thank those that are hanging out on the phone lines besides the callers that are actually on the line. If there's anybody else who would like to join in on the conversation, looks like the topic at the moment is loyalty in the industry. You know, but before we go any further, I want to play a song for you, and I want to play Journey of Love by Halon Keith, who was the first caller into the show tonight.
Yay.
All right.
Had a touch, yeah. These ups and downs and trials, we've made it through it all, yeah. Even though we've both done wrong, this road is not paved with gold, and I know we've had our roadblocks and toes, that's for sure. We pay the price to love one another, and I'll do it again. And if I turn in love, it's been a long time, but I'm glad you're mine. This love is so divine. Turn in love, but it's only time. Right now I'm gonna make you mine. Turn in love, it's been a long time, but I'm glad you're mine. This love is so divine. Turn in love. Never gonna let you go again. Now listen, girl, yeah. I would give you the world if I could. Protect you from the raindrops that fall from the sky. Hey, I'm your guardian angel, I can lie. Whatever you want, I got it. Whatever you need, I got it. Just tell me what you want, girl, I'm aimed to please you. You're the one for me. Journey of love. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been a long time, but I'm glad you're mine. This love is so divine. Journey of love. But it's only time. Right now I'm gonna make you mine. Journey of love. It's been a long time, but I'm glad you're mine. This love is so divine. Journey of love. Never gonna let you go. Journey of love, but it's only time. Right now I'm gonna make you mine. Journey of love, it's been a long time.
was Journey of Love right. by Cameron Keith.
Nice.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! How crazy.
We had a good time in the studio doing that one.
You showing out. I'm sitting downstairs. I went in the little entertainment center. My sister sitting there. She said, who's that? Brother, he on Flavor Show, Flavor doing a round table. She like, do you know him? Well, I mean, I know of him, sweetie. I just met him tonight. She's like, well, because if you know him, I need to know him. I'm like, damn, from a song,
right.
girl? I need to tighten up my game.
Every time I hear that song, I get the same feeling as hearing one of my own songs like Gravity. Every time I hear the song Journey of Love,
that
I just...
song is fire.
Yeah, it's just like, that's my little brother. When I met Halon Keith, it's just like, he just have this amazing heart and this amazing love for God and, you know, respect for his mother and friends and family. You just don't meet this type of person every day, whether it's in music or whether it's just everyday life. And just his passion for the music, you can feel it. And it's like I'm saying, every time I hear this song and the other songs, he got more 5 songs coming out. It just, I feel like it's one of my own songs. I just get that same feeling.
That was something. I'll tell you what, next time things seem a little shaky at home for the old married man, I'm going to be popping that track in. Check
this
out. I'm going to use the line, too. Hey, Lon, I'm going to use the line. I know I don't say it, but this is how I really feel. You know, in my coolest voice, the men voice, then I'm going to pop that track on. But that's what's up, man. That was really good, brother.
Hey, John, you got the top words. Now, listen, girl. I'd give you the world if I could.
That's it. I'm going to use that line. I'm going to go half
that'll
voice
get you off
and
the
half
hook,
five heartbeats. Hey, baby, I know
that'll
I
get you off the hook.
Hey, you know, that would, because I just listened to that. I proofread that one. Baby,
I
don't
say
it. But this is how I really feel. I'm going to pop that in. Because that was, hey, bro, that was very, very, very nice.
Thank you.
Thank
you. I thank Monica, you know, for helping me out with that. It's like she is a lyricist. You know, I can put together hooks and everything and probably come up with a first verse, but, you know, she helped me out a lot, and I just want to thank her for that, you know, because I just wouldn't be, you know, I guess, to that point right now if it wasn't for her, so...
That's
my
problem is for real.
Continue to thank her because you're at that point, bro. Man, that was nice.
And it's just, I think it's just a little stuff that a lot of other artists, you have to tell newer artists, you know what I'm saying, about production. And if you're going to pay the money now. Don't go back and have to pay more money. You know what I'm saying? Do it the right way the first time. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, you know, you may can't get to the most bomb studio, but like you said, there's program for mixing and mastering too. You just can do what you can, but just make sure that your production, you know, that same song, if the production wasn't as the quality that it was, that same song, you know, you can, it may not be, you know what I'm saying? It would still be good, but when everything is together, it's like a sweet potato pie. When the crust is right and the filling is
man,
right.
Man, she just hit the nail right on the head.
You know what I'm saying? You
got to eat it. You can't mention sweet potato pie around a hungry brother that could sing like that, girl.
Right. Nobody knows me one right now. I think public's still open.
No,
right,
whatever.
I'm learning the hard way about production. You know, I had to go back through, and like I say all the time, thank God for Stephen Jerome Ferguson, because I had to go back through and get a whole bunch of stuff remastered, man, because I call myself going to be the one-stop shopping network and do it all myself, and sometimes you got to know when to step back, and I'm a Taurus, so that's speaking Chinese to me. Step back, what? I don't step back. Well, I should have stepped back, you know, and then you know, I had to go back, and like I said, Steven just popped up, you know, when I really needed somebody, my brother was there, and helped me clean up some tracks that are very personal to me, you know.
But the good thing about it is,
speaking of Steven Jerome, just to let you know, Steven Jerome Ferguson, your line is open.
It is?
It is.
And I want to hear y'all talk about me some more.
I just I'm about to take the bag stuff. You gotta stay on. Hang up again.
No. Y'all were talking about sweet potato pie. I was getting hungry up in here.
Ooh, and this is almost for Thanksgiving. Goodness.
Look what Monica got started over here.
I know, man. I got hungry now.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Somebody make a song as good as Gravity gonna bring up something that's gonna throw everybody off. Now we all looking at the fridge with longing eyes and stuff. That was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need a homemade too. I need a homemade.
Better,
I don't want no stove ball.
That quick, girl. From a homemade sweet potato pie. Lord have mercy.
Mm. You know,
hey, Steven.
Yes, sir.
Did you do that track?
Oh,
did
man.
You do the track just play? Yeah.
Well, sweet, man. Hey, Lon, I got to give you props, man. You did it up on that one, bro.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
You did it up. Man, that was nice. That was real nice.
Thank you.
So, hey, Lon, how does that feel to have all these props coming from these artists?
I mean, it feels good because you just don't know the position I've been in. When I first moved to Jacksonville, I mean, I've been singing, you know, with a group for about 10 years, but I never really had a lead part in the group. I was always the background. So when I first came here, I mean, I still didn't like my voice. And, you know, Monica, working with her, it's like she got me to the point to where, and I'm still not there, but she got me to the point to where I can, you know, really start to do it on my own and start to really like my voice and, you know, some vocal coaching. And that's one thing that I didn't have. You know, I was scared to just, you know, step out there and do it on my own because for 10 years, you know, like I said, I was with, you know, five other people. So it feels good to, you know, step out on my own and finally do something, you know, solo.
Well,
so
just so you know, brother, you're not just talking to any old artist. I mean, I'm not going to say we're the greatest, but we're not some street corner doo-wop cats. I'm going to put it out there. You got some artists that are doing big things, brother, and you are amongst us, especially with that piece. Come on in, have a seat. Let me get you some pie.
Put your feet up a little bit.
Wait, I'm with him. I'm with him. Welcome him in with open arms, Jack.
You know, wow, that was beautiful.
Thank you so much.
That was really, really smooth, bro. Really, as a matter of fact, it's so smooth. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, that hidden motive. Right now I'm thinking, damn, why couldn't I have sang that good and wrote that song? But it's I'm good. I get over it. No, but seriously, brother. That was good.
Let me know if you ever decide to do a remix or something, bro. I am definitely available.
Yes, sir, definitely.
Right.
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Need a smooth piano? Hey, call me up.
Yeah, John's a piano player. So, okay, you know what? Okay, so before, because I want to bring Steven into this conversation, but, you know, since this man's talking much mess on the show tonight, well, no, okay, he's getting some wisdom too, okay? I'm going to jump right in so y'all can hear John D. Green Sr., and this is one of the tracks that Steven Jerome Ferguson produced, and this is called Melodocracy.
Nice.
Thank you.
All right, that was Melodocracy, done by John D. Green Sr. and produced by Stephen Jerome Ferguson. Both are on the line with us right now.
Play the flavor.
Hi.
Yes.
Play the flavor. I want to describe this song for me. John and Stephen, when I heard this song, I felt like I was in Jamaica on a sunset when the sun was, you know, setting. I'm under a waterfall and the water is pouring all over my hair. You know what I'm saying? It's just really
sexy.
Calm and just beautiful.
Now, see, Monica, why'd you have to say that? Because now every time I look at gravity and I see you on that shore, on that beach.
Oh, yeah, you just see the images that just came into my head just then.
She was singing Gravity, but she was singing Melodocracy. No.
It's beautiful, though. It's very calm and to the soul, but still, you know, got that sexiness. You know, it's beautiful.
Thank you so much. That song was I always thought it was a good song because there's no loops or nothing. There's nothing computerized. That's straight. Everything you heard was one lay down, one track at a time, no loops. So every mistake I started from the beginning. But then Steven got a hold to it, and he just made it clean and crisp and beautiful. So it was a good track that became better thanks to the wizard of id, so to speak, thanks to Steven, because he cleaned it up and made it righteous, because it gave it the crisp pop, that good sound that I couldn't, and I'm honest, I couldn't do it. But that track is, you know, it became better once Steven put his magic on it. And that track was formed out of just anger. Hey, Monica, now it's funny. The anger was in the studio, yes. My agent / wife, they were negotiating, recording in a studio, and I was sitting out in the foyer with the piano. And they're going back and forth, arguing. She argued, he argued, she argued, he argued. We sat there so long, I ended up writing the whole song out of anger because I was waiting.
Fading. It's so calm,
the name,
though.
Yeah, well, it's calm because I was frustrated. You know how you have the bureaucracy of waiting when you're doing paperwork and protocol and red tape just to get one little thing accomplished. You know, I wanted to get, you know, 43 minutes of recording done, six-hour argument to no avail. I'm sitting there. Melodocracy came about. Yeah.
Beautiful. And sexy. You can't leave the sexiness out because it's beautiful and it's sexy.
Wow. The coming from you, that means a whole lot. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You guys ain't got to say it's sexy. It's cool. I understand.
Y'all
ain't got to say it's sexy. And I was gonna say it was blazing.
Blazing.
Hey, Lon, I ain't gonna tell you your song was sexy neither. It was not sexy. Let Monica do that.
John, you know, you do movies, you do plays. Can you imagine that song like in a Love Jones 2? You will learn, you know, with Neil Long there, you know what I'm saying, in this tropical island, you know, it's just.
I can imagine it. I walked onto the set the other night. Last night was a night shoot. I walked onto the set, and the set was at a dojang. There's a big fight scene, you know, with the mayor. Mm-hmm. I walk onto the set, and I see the director sitting in a car, and I get closer, and I hear this very familiar sound. And I'm thinking, man, director, he cool as hell. I mean, this cat's hip. He's sitting back, you know. He's on his phone. He got this music playing real low. I get closer, and the music that's playing is actually Melodocracy.
He looks up.
He looks directly up at me. I'm standing in front of his Escalade. He turns it down. He looks at me. He puts the phone to his chest, and he starts laughing. He says, "You busted me. You got me. I just walk in." So the whole time we're shooting, every time the camera goes off, he's laughing. He's looking at me. He's like, "Man, you ain't see me playing air piano, did you?" I'm like, "No, I didn't see that, man. But it's cool, man. You know." So it was funny because here's this serious guy. You know, he's sitting there, Jamie Wheatley. Next thing you know, he's staring at me, and I'm thinking, "Is that my music?" He just said, "Start laughing." He didn't have nothing else to say. He's like, did you see me? I said, "See you what, Jamie?" He said, I was playing air piano. I'm sorry. You got it.
I'm saying it's okay, man. Play on, play. You know, it's cool.
So it was last night was a good night, you know.
That's good. So for those of you that don't know, John is not only a jazz pianist, but he is also an actor, you know, and he's a martial artist. And so he's, like, presently filming and not playing piano, huh?
Well, I'm still playing piano. I mean, I'm putting it together. And Stephen and I, we're about to do quite a few big things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Stephen's. I'm going to even record a piece that Stephen's going to produce for me.
Yes, I am.
I can't wait to hear it.
So you know what? I read it to Spicy this morning, Stephen. She's like, Flava, you need to keep writing. You need to keep writing.
Yeah, you do.
I'm like, okay, Spicy, you have to help me then. So, yeah, I'm going to become a recording artist. It's my one-time shot, but, yeah, you know, I'm going to be
one-time shot.
Yeah,
Everybody says one-time shot until they actually
once they get the bug, that's it.
Product,
it's all over.
Right.
You'll be hauling up every weekend and, you know.
It's so cute to hear that. I'm going to eat one Cheeto. I'm going to eat one pistachio. I'm going to get one tattoo. I'm going to record one song. Yeah.
See, my problem is I'm not a writer, so I can't like write stuff, you know, to do. So that's why y'all do what you do, and I get to just be over here waving my leopard pom pom. So I'm really really cool with all of that. You know, I do want to carry on and finish the conversation. I do want to hear Stephen's thoughts and all. But you know what? I'm on a roll. I'm going to jump in here and play a piece by the Cloak. And I'm going to play the piece. So I'm going to play the piece to Clove. Do you think the one you and CKG did? Put it down?
Wait. Yeah, go ahead, lady.
What, no? Not that one?
Y'all, go ahead. Do what you do. I ain't even for the message. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, okay. So I'm going to play the quote. And the gentleman he was speaking of, CKG, and this piece is called Put It Down.
Yeah, it's our time, dog. You ready?
Yeah, I got him, CK. All
right, let's go. Hey, this is all right. He tell him put their hands up.
Let's go.
Tell him, fam.
Have got come, cause they'll 50 G's for the
nigga mopping floors up at Mickey D's. Working at UPS, pipping blocks and flipping keys. Who got the baby mama's turn, you can just see what happens to the day, the hot top can rip, please. Now every cat thinks the rockin' pink and lime green. Fibber with the bars, how I paint the super clean.
Your eyes like Vazine. Vazine, stacking the cash to find clean. Making moves, business boom, and I've seen the bottom. But I'm night kid, you can't hold me down. I rose like the third day, like when Christ did. Flows on the night is. Blizzard in the summer, we colder than ice is. Croker CK, two tech, sniping. Connect with the left, he's sprightin' your brain.
Hey, West Coast, I'm putting down. My people are here. West Coast, I'm putting down.
My people are here.
East Coast, I'm putting down.
My people are here.
Just now, south, I put it down.
My people are here.
Up north, I put it down.
My people are here.
Worldwide, I put it down.
My people are here.
Just Midwest, I put it down.
My people are here.
West Coast, I put it down.
My people are here.
East Coast, I put it down.
My people are here.
Just now, south, I put it down.
My people are here.
Up north, I put it down.
My people are here.
Worldwide, I put it down.
My people are here.
Just.
That was Put It Down by DeCloak and CK.
Sweet.
Appreciate it, Lady Flavor. I really do.
That's one of the pieces that make you at least chair dance if you're sitting down, huh?
I was doing just that.
I had the head popping, man. I would, yeah. That was nice,
just
bro.
Asking, can I put my hands down now?
Nice.
You know, the quote, the first thing that comes to my mind when I hear that track is exciting. That's a very exciting piece. Soundtrack worthy. That might be something you may consider in the future. That track is very exciting. You guys have a very adrenaline-based excitement. You build a good crescendo. You got a good climactic finish, good finishing lines, very solid, very clean. I definitely like that piece, and everybody pretty much knows my stance on hip hop of any kind. But that's pretty exciting, man.
Oh, appreciate question. It. Where did the name the quote come from? Where did that originate from?
Actually, it was just something that I kind of like grew into as I went on in my latter years of teenage life. I used to wear hoodies a lot.
Okay.
And, far as hip hop, because I really felt like that it needed to get back to the essence. So I'm here to be the superhero that will take it back to the essence. So,
okay.
So,
cool.
You know, that's a question that a lot of people that do interviews, that's what they ask you. Where did the quote come from?
That comes up a lot.
Yeah. Cool.
So anyway, let's just give you, go ahead.
Okay.
Anyway, I wanted to give a taste, before the show ran out, at least of Halon and John and DeCloak. If we have time, I definitely will throw some Monica and Steven in there also. But it's just like, if you think about it, look at the array of genres that's represented on the film right now.
It's amazing.
It is pretty amazing. And to be able to have this conversation and this camaraderie right now, in conversation, that's pretty cool to be able, to hear that from, you know, a variety of genres on one show. So, Stephen, I don't know if you heard, you know, the topic that was being discussed earlier in the show.
I got bits and pieces of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we were talking about loyalty of the industry and, you know, kind of like talking on different subjects and what does that really look like. And I threw out the thought of, you know, why does loyalty break down, you know, and all of that. Because to me, I feel like I'm a loyal person, you know, when I connect with somebody and when I'm working on a project or, you know, deciding to support an artist or whatever, I'm going to do my best to follow through with everything that I've said that I'm going to do. And, you know, as my popularity grows, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, you abandon ship from those people that started with you in the beginning or whatever, you know. And I don't know, I think that for me, being a part of this industry as the artist cheerleader, as a radio show host, you know, however you want to look at who I am, loyalty is really important to me, you know, and the people that are loyal to Flava News, to those that I am loyal to, that's almost my foundation. That's what helps keep me sane in this, because for the majority of you, at least Monica, John, and Stephen, you know some of the crazy mess that I've experienced, you know, in the time that you've known me when it comes to artists. And so, you know, loyalty is really important, you know, because that's the people that I trust, you know. And I think that when trust breaks down, that's horrible. Like, what do you do with that? You know, so.
You can't do anything with it because trust is kind of like a plate of glass almost. You know, once it's broken and cracked, you can't fix it. You know, it's real hard to, once you lose trust in something or somebody, it's kind of hard to get it back. It's almost impossible. You know, the loyalty thing, there's going to be a certain amount of loyalty, but I really don't know if we can expect nowadays the kind of loyalty that I think we're all talking about, because there's, you know, we're living in an age where it's the all about me generation. You know, it's, you know, what do I get? What do I get? Where's mine? And, you know, that type of stuff like that. And a lot of people go into partnerships and collaborations and stuff with the best intentions. And, but then again, there's a lot of people that go in with their own agendas. And there's nothing wrong with having an agenda. You know, if you've got an agenda saying that, you know, whatever you want to do, you know, let me know that up front. You know, and I could work with that. I could work with anything,
right,
as long as I know it up front. You know, but it's I don't know, it's just something that we all have to deal with now. Like I said, it's we're living in that all about me generation and that all, you know, self gratification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is being completely transparent. I took a break. I had to step back for a while because, you know, with being a lyricist, with being a MC, with being a writer, it gets to the point where the accolades start to become too important. And, you know, a lot of people will be like, you know, well, I think you should still, you know, stretch, you know, do the best you can in what you do. I mean, you are good at it, so why not do your best? I'm not saying I'm not going to do my best, but at the same time, the accolade should not mean more to you than your art does.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly.
And that you're putting out to the public that you want to support you.
That's true.
Yep. And
that's
once you start listening and believing your own press, you're in trouble.
Right.
Okay.
You can say that again. That's true.
Well, I mean, the reality is to make our worlds work, you know, we need others.
Exactly.
You know, we can't do this mm-hmm. by ourselves, you know, and we need the support of others. We need people to be loyal. We need honest, you know, critiques of what we're doing. We need a variety of people to make our world work, you know, and it's one of those things like, you know, when I decided to change Flavor News into a members-only station, you know, there a part of me was looking at that. Like, did it really matter to artists that I was playing their tracks and stuff? And you know, and the my popularity has grown, you know, since I've been doing Flavor News Radio, and I'll be celebrating my 2 years on the air on November 1st.
Woo!
You know, and so and nobody, you know, could have told me 2 years ago that I would be asked to join, you know, three other radio stations. I've actually been asked to join five radio stations. I've not agreed to go with the one in Atlanta and the one in Ohio as of yet. But, you know, I've been asked to join Soul City Radio, you know, out in Baltimore. I've been asked to join Ruddings Radio in London, UK. And I've been asked to join KLSL Liquid Soul out of the Pacific Northwest. And KLSL Liquid Soul, only the top quality artists coming my way can go with me to that particular station. That particular station also has the capability of paying out royalties, and that's something that Halon had touched on. And Halon, we can talk about that on a future show, if that's okay with you, because I do think, and Stephen and John and Monica would be great people that can talk on that particular subject, because, you know, they're versed on that. But, you know, I never thought that I would have those capabilities. I'll be honest with you, I'm so very blessed that these stations are willing to wait for me. My computer has crashed, so I really don't have a computer to work off of to go do those shows right now. So when I decided to change, you know, the station, you know, into a members only, it was about, okay, so everybody knows that I'm asking for $1 a month membership, you know, or $12 a year, however you want to do it. You know, you can pay online, you can mail me. I got a dollar in the mail the other day. Do you know how excited I was to get open up this envelope and find a dollar? I was just absolutely thrilled.
Be prepared, because I will be some very, I'm not going to say, you know, too much about it right now, but for some very, very, very big records that I have coming 2012, I will be contacting you about it. So,
right. Well,
that's
what's up. You know, I love you, Cloak. But, you know, but, you know, my thing is going back to loyalty, right? When I started doing the radio shows, you know, I started out, okay, Black Stacks was one of the first groups, you know, Yidim Sec and LaRue. And then Robert G., soul singer out of California, Darian Dean, soul singer out of New York. They were kind of like my foundations of, you know, music to play on my shows. It then grew to having like over 700 tracks, you know, on uploaded to my show. And the reality was not even half of the artists even acknowledged the fact that I played them. And I was like, okay, doesn't matter to them. So where's the win-win in this flavor? You know, like, because I always talk about win-wins, right?
Right.
And, like, where's the win-win in this in playing all of these artists' music if they don't even care that I'm playing it? I've watched some artists actually this past week who have, like, thanked these other stations for playing them, and they've never thanked me.
Wow.
You know? And it's not like I do this to say, I want you to say thank you, right?
Right.
You know, I started out doing this because I love what it is that I'm doing. You know, but when all these other opportunities opened up for me to be able to take you guys' music and have it be played on other stations that are also global, you know, international stations, you know, for instance, like for you, DaCloak, I am connected to stations that play only hip-hop, and I am connected to stations that play uncensored hip-hop. And that particular station also pays out royalties, you know. So, I mean, I have the capability of not only playing your music here on my station, but because of the popularity I have, and I really strongly believe, I've said this to, you know, to Monica and John and Stephen, if I was playing some boo-boo music, these radio show hosts would not be reaching out to me. And they're not Blog Talk radio show hosts.
No, they're real McCoy.
You know, so it's like, you know, they wouldn't be reaching out to me if I was playing, you know, just whack, you know, artists. And so, you know, it was like, okay, how do I look at this and how do I feel about it? So that's why I decided, you know what, I'm going to turn this into a members radio station. Let's see who's willing to give me $1 a month. You know, and I'll be honest with you, when I put it out there, I have probably 60 artists who I'm still holding on to that have not paid. And, you know, and I know some of them are doing some really big things. You know, and I thought, okay, this is really interesting to me, okay? Is it that I don't matter? Is it because I'm a Blog Talk radio show host, so they don't take me serious? Yet they were the ones who have reached out to me and said, I love what you're doing, Flava. I love, you know, the fact that you support me, and yes, I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to send you my money, da-da-da, and then it hasn't happened. And I'll also keep it real in being able to get $1 a month from artists, right? And if you think about it, I had 700 tracks. Like, I want to say, I can't remember the figures now, but it, you know, it was over 200 artists that I had uploaded. If every artist gave $1, right, that would really help me get this computer system that I need to be able to get on these other shows to do, play your music. And I'll just keep it real there too, you know. And to me, it's like $1 can't be too much to ask for, you know. And yeah, so exactly. You know, So, you know, I'm thinking about loyalty, right? Loyalty in the industry. What does that really mean, and what does that look like? You know, and again, I don't want you guys to think that I do this because I want you to say, hey, Flava, thanks for playing my song, because that's, you know, it's not necessarily about that. But if that's the relationship, trust me, thank you goes a long ways. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But with the loyalty issue, you know, there are stages of loyalty also, and but we're basically looking at a business relationship type form of loyalty is what we're looking at. You're looking at the old gentleman handshake type thing, you know. I say I'm gonna do this, you say you're gonna do that, so let's do it. And
right.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that don't really understand that now. A lot of those values have been kind of lost in the shuffle a little bit. But it still comes down to, you know, stand up and be a man, stand up and be a woman. Do what you say you're going to do. And if you don't, then... You know, as far as I'm just going to speak for me, you know, I can't speak for the other people here. But when you show me that you're not a person of your word or you're not who you originally said you were, you know, I don't get mad at anything. Don't try to get even either. I just cut you off. You just won't hear nothing else from me anymore.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And... because I've worked a long time to try to get drama out of my life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I don't need it, don't want it, don't have to deal with it. That's my choice if I want to deal with it or not.
Right, right.
But it's all a matter of, you know, just doing what you say you're going to do. And like I said earlier, if you've got agendas, if you've got your own plan, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Why are you hiding it?
Right.
You know, why are you hiding it? Just bring it out in the open and say, you know what, I'm doing this because I want to do this. And it's like, okay, you know, we all know that now, so we can deal with it.
Exactly.
You know, all the hidden agendas and the little backroom deals and all that, man, that stuff is made for the movies, man. This is real. We're talking about real life. Let's all get real and we could all be a whole lot happier.
Exactly.
Okay,
well,
I'm getting off my box now.
No, that's all right. I mean, I think it's real stuff, and that's what I love about the Artist Roundtable, you know, is the fact that, you know, so far, and John, you know, you could correct me on this, but so far, on a whole, we've been pretty lucky and not had issues on any of the Artist Roundtables. You know,
right.
It's always been a calm conversation. You know, usually people walk away from the Artist Roundtable and connect, you know, offline. You know,
except for that one time with
that one guy, huh? Yeah, he was a wacko. I don't even know where he came from. Right.
That was my favorite round table.
Hey, John.
You know what?
Okay, I was not privy to this one. This was when I was like really, really, really working on some things. So y'all gonna have to clue me in on what.
Yeah,
on
I
want to
hear about this. Where was I at? Was that it?
No, you weren't at that one, Steve. You was actually working, but brother, this cat called in, and he was a poet, Flavor, or was he a singer?
He was, or something, out of California.
Yeah, he was a singer, and he wanted to sing, and you know, Flavor, she's the on the spot kind of person, so she you know, okay, brother, sing, do your thing, young man. Okay, well, he did his thing. And
no, he did. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
He hummed.
He hummed his song. Oh yeah, that's he it. Hummed his song.
Oh, yeah.
The song. Let me find the note. Hold on. It's a. But he kept going, and we're waiting. We're like, okay, he'll be in key in a minute. He hummed it, and that's pretty much it. And that's pretty much it. And do you think I could have a shot at you know, because I like to, you know, connect. And so then it was really quiet. Even the crickets were like, I ain't chiming in on this nonsense. So we thought he was kidding. So we approached it. No one disrespected him. You know, the round table's all love. But at the same time, no one said, hey, that's great, because it wasn't. But... Right. We thought he was kidding. It was that type of delivery. I really thought he was just one of the, you know, what do they call them, pranksters or a heckler kind of dude. I thought that's what he was doing. Well, he was serious. I mean, he's passionate about his humming.
It was kind of crazy. You know what? We actually have two more callers who've raised their hands, so let me bring them in. They're not numbers I'm familiar with. So, caller from the 609 area code, you are on the air on the Artist Roundtable.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Who is this?
Hello.
I know that voice.
Uh-huh. I was just being nosy. I was like, let me see if there's anything. So I just got in, and as a matter of fact. So
did
I
you change
to
your phone number?
This is my cell number. I'm away from home.
Don't be throwing me off. Okay, Miss Eleanor.
I said, she's not going to recognize this area code.
No, I'm so not recognizing the area code.
Ah.
So let me bring the other callers in also, Eleanor, just a minute,
okay.
Please.
Okay.
All right. Caller from the 404 area code, you're on the Artist Roundtable. Oh, my God. Who is this?
This is a caveman. I can't even see. I was sitting up here getting prepped all ready for it and couldn't even finish it.
Okay, so
that night was funny.
Hey.
So this is Thinking Caveman on the phone. TC's a troublemaker. Okay, let me bring in another caller.
Oh, that was so funny.
Okay, so is this Masus Spicy? Okay, we got Spicy out of New York on the phone too, so. Okay, so now we're good to go. We've added Eleanor, we've added Thinking Caveman, and we've added Spicy out of New York on the phone. So.
Right. Okay. You talk about the guy who was humming, and we all called in because we knew it was funny.
Oh, what's that about? I like that story, huh?
It was the funniest one because he turned it into, like, comedy. He was so serious, and he up the whole tune. He was like he had a kazoo. He hummed the whole tune. He couldn't sing a note. And he was serious.
He couldn't sing a note.
He meant that. Boy, every hum of his, every hair in his nose was at attention. That dude was serious.
Then I asked him if he performed at, like, open mics or something down in California. I think he was, like, in the Los Angeles area or something. And he's like, no, there aren't any. I'm like, really? Like, really? There aren't open mics down there? No.
They were acoustically set up for that volume of humming. I wish we could find that guy. I'd love for him to call in again.
Right. Right. So anyway, so TC, I know you've been in the chat room. Spicy, you just entered the chat room. I don't know if you've been sneaking in the chat room, Eleanor, but, you know, we've been talking about loyalty, you know, in the industry. And, you know, what does that look like? What does it feel like? And when there's betrayal involved, you know, what does that look like and feel like? And what do you even do with it? And so, you know, do any of you have thoughts on, you know, the subject?
Well, personally, I just cut them off because
you cut them off.
I don't have time for it. I'm here to do it. I got to do it and get done. If you want to play a game, that's on you. And I think we were talking the same thing earlier when I spoke to you on the phone. And it's that's also about sense of loyalty. So, I mean, if you don't have time for me, just suggest to me, why should I break my behind? Time for you.
Right. I got you on that, so I see. Yeah. No, and you're so right, you know, and that's kind of, I think, what Stephen was talking about, too, is the fact, like, you know, and I'm like that, too. I'm trying to learn not to be so harsh, but I'm like that, too, where I just cut you off. You know, I've been known if you look at me kind of crazy, like, I'm done, you know, or you say something, and I'm like, okay, you know what, you lost your mind or whatever. I'm like, done. I don't, you know, it's almost like you don't exist anymore. You know,
exactly.
I'm trying to learn not to be that way and go that direction, but
with some people, you have to be that way.
Right.
I know this for me, mm-hmm. I have to be at times because I do around to get to know your spirit first. Before
sure.
I actually know your physical attributes, I do come to get to know your spirit. If your spirit is kind of funny to me, I do come to I will come think question very lightly. And I'm like, I have a pink question. I don't need them. Bye. And I'll go away.
Right. And one of the things that Spicy and I were talking about this morning was, and I hope it's okay, Spicy, that I share this. You know, you can slap me later.
Yes, okay.
But, you know.
I didn't go. It's okay.
I guess it's a good thing you're in New York and I'm in Seattle, right? But
I'm going to get you.
I know you are, and I'm scared. But one of the things Spicy and I were talking about, you know, for those of you that don't know Spicy, you know, she speaks with a speech impediment. And, you know, it's due to a heat stroke she suffered as a child. But there are people who think she's stupid or retarded because she has a speech impediment. And as if she can't think, as if she just does not have the capability of writing. Spicy is one of the most profound, you know, writers I know. You know, and her poetry is absolutely phenomenal. You know, and I would encourage anybody who's listening to the show to you know, connect with her, find her, and read her work, because she's absolutely amazing. But it's like, you know, she deals with a lot of prejudice because of, you know, the fact that she has the speech impediment and people can't always, you know, understand her. And I know that from that, you know, she has dealt with a lot of, you know, lack of loyalty, you know, from a variety of people. So, anyway, I guess I got everybody to shut up, huh, boy? Spicy. We should have you call into the show more often. So, you know, I think that, you know, loyalty can just play such a big role, you know, and Spicy, as we were talking, you know, earlier in the show, you know, about loyalty in this industry. For me, having people being supportive and being loyal to me, that really fuels me to keep doing what it is that I do. And I don't know if everybody else on the line feels that same way. When you feel that people are in your corner, when you feel, you know, a sense of a part of a network, of a team or whatever, that does that fuel you to keep doing what you're doing despite the fact of the craziness that you experience also in this industry?
I agree.
I mean, the time I talked to you and I had talked to my pastor,
mm-hmm.
he advised me that even Jesus had 12 disciples.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel that, you know, for me, I know it's going to be a lot of people that's going to not be loyal to me. I know there's going to be a lot of things that's not, you know, that's going to hurt me. But, you know, and it's just that, and I'm human, and you go through your ups and downs. But if gravity kills one person, then, you know, then the song was dumb. The song did what it's supposed to have done. And if I would let someone that hurt me, you know that, you know, I supposed to have a whole album to come out like 2010 called the Total Eclipse. And the guy who was recording the album, you remember I was telling you that because I didn't take up on his advances, he ran with all mm-hmm. my material. You know what I'm saying? So people looking at Simple Beautiful, like the third album, I mean, you know, with Nappy Halo, then Total Eclipse, Simply Beautiful, this is like the, I've been in the studio nonstop since 2009. And that did hurt me, you know what I'm saying? Especially as a female artist, you know what I'm saying? That the industry has got, you know, that some people look at females, and this is a whole different, look at females as, you know, something that they can, you know, I'm going to do this, but it's not like I didn't pay this guy. I paid this guy over $1,500, you know what I'm saying? So it ain't like I didn't pay him, but the thing about it is when I went through that, I learned from that, and I took more control, and I realized that I'm not just going to depend on one producer. I'm going to have a lot of producers, so when something like that happens, you just read, I just think you put your whole, you know, schedule and just rethink stuff too. You don't go through the same thing, you know what I'm saying? You know, if you do the same thing over and over, you're going to get the same equation. I didn't want to do that same thing over and over. I wanted people to know when you see me, you know, I'm more than a pretty face. I'm serious about mine. I'm serious about my craft. And my music is my personal testimony. This music can save lives. You know what I'm saying?
You have to do it. Any individual who will take advantage of a person, take advantage of a person in a personal way as well as in business, the person does not credit anything to either work with.
Give me a man, a man.
Monica, I experienced.
Give me a man, a man.
I counted on someone, I trusted on someone, I worked with someone who's pretty influential in our industry. And for the success, they ended up really, really letting me down. They get me wrong, in my opinion. They made promises and made commitments that they never planned. That kind of touched me for a while. But I found that I'm good. You know, like I said, Stephen came along right when it was supposed to happen. But my CD would have been done. You know that, Clay. But like I said, I'm gonna stick with your cloak on this. I'm not going to say no name, but I want to. But I'm not going to. But I got really let down and disappointed, and I counted on something. And, you know, I guess I wasn't important enough at the time. But the same people think I'm pretty damn important now, but that's neither here nor there, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that happened.
It crushed me, man, because that CD was very important to me. My Perception CD was everything and anything about me, you know, my life story. One chapter at a time, told three songs, and they messed me up pretty good with it. But like you said, I lived and I learned.
Smack down in the building.
I let that pain teach me a very valuable lesson, and
hey,
I moved on. Yo,
you still got the music to that, man?
Oh man, all of it. A lot of music that I sent you when we first started talking, a lot of that was for the Perception CD.
Okay, we got this.
Yeah,
okay.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
I'll hear that. That's what I'm talking about right there.
But, you know, it is funny. You know, John, you made a point, and I don't know if other people have experienced this that's on the phone that have been in the industry for a while. But even like myself, right, you know, when I started out, and especially on Facebook, because, you know, Facebook was something kind of new to me because, you know, back in the day, you know, it was all about MySpace. And, you know, but on Facebook, you know, people were kind of new to me, and I was like, you know, meeting some new people. And due to a dear friend of mine in New York, K.L. Belvin, he's kind of encouraged me to get, you know, involved with the artists in my own community. He's like, you know, Flava, I know you're struggling trying to get these knuckleheads, you know, to do what you want them to do and need them to do to support them. You know, that don't live in your own hometown, why don't you try reaching out to the artists in your own community? So there was a situation where Blackstack had asked me to connect with somebody who's here. And he's a pretty popular guy. He's a comedian. He's a radio show host and this and that. And, you know, I reached out to them in behalf of Blackstack. They wouldn't respond to me at all, But about a year ago, this same guy reached out to me and said we should join hands and collaborate, doing stuff together. And I was like, really? Oh, now you want to talk to me?
Right.
It's like, are you? I didn't even respond. I couldn't even respond. Like, you know, I couldn't even go there. I'm like,
yeah.
No,
all you could do is laugh that off because it kind of trips you out when you start. You know, doing things in this industry, and this is the norm. This is the norm, you know.
Right.
I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but this is the norm. Like, people, when you're the new person on, you know, when you're the rookie, when you're the new person, nobody reaches out.
Right.
You know,
right.
They kind of shun you, or, you know, they feel about you or whatever, but your whole thing is, your mentality is, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to build a brand, you're trying to build a business, and you're trying to do, you know, do what you love, which is music. People,
right.
just take it completely out of context. Oh, you think you're the next hot thing and blah, blah, blah. Or they even ask you, you know, do you want to be the next hot thing? Like, you could be thinking on a whole other term of the situation. They're more concerned about making you the next hot commodity, or making you the next top 100 on the charts or whatever. And,
right.
So it's just a lot of, this
is TC, even from my perspective. A lot of people don't know who I am when they hear my real name, or they don't know what I do. And it's really funny at how the thinking caveman gets treated versus how the real me gets treated. And then when people find out that they're both, either some want to have something to do with it or some don't. I really don't care.
But
I spent a lot of time crafting this personality.
Yeah, but TT, in your benefit, I could say on your behalf, man, your work, you put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. You know what I mean? People can follow your craft easily. They can see what you're about. You know, they know that once they look into you, because you're Googleable, brother. So once they look into you, they see that you're not a rookie or something. So they know that their chance that they're taking is a pretty solid chance based on experience with you. But with some of these other cats, they're new to the game, man, and they don't really know. And they're out there, and it seems like people are really reluctant to just say, hey, let's take a chance, let's make a move together, and we'll see how this works out. And that's a sad thing, because there's so much great talent out here, and they're not getting the time of day because of these cutthroat cats that are so busy scraping the bottom to get what they can get before they cut out and leave you hanging. And that's beyond disgusting, man. That's a horrible, horrible thing.
Let me get myself.
Yeah, because I got a rapper that I've told him several times, dude, I want to use your work. Here's my short resume. I want to use your work in my story. And he's like, okay, man, I'll send it to you. I send him a tickler. He ain't got back to me. You ain't heard his music.
Right.
And it's just that simple.
Right.
I think you want to say something. What did you want to say, Spicy? Father, God, Buddha, whoever, the understanding.
You know what, Spicy? I'm having a hard time hearing you. I don't know whose phone has people in the background or TV in the background or whatever, but it's making it kind of difficult to understand what you're saying, darling. So maybe on the... okay,
it's
a little bit more... Okay, now I can maybe hear you.
I said, well, it comes down to the person knowing themselves. And what accept from themselves and right us. People always call us on what we do. If you examine yourself thoroughly and you know what you will allow, and you're true to yourself, you can believe to have people on the earth and call out for you to see them. It's like,
right.
You can categorize who's in a friend, who's an associate, who's a potential lover.
Mm-hmm.
But just a glance more at back in the cut than observing. I know a lot of people don't have a lot of time to observe, but if you know yourself, it'll be quicker than a bit of your eyelash.
Right. I think that you have a point, that it's really important for us to know ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that going into this industry, I think you need to know what your purpose is in going into this industry, not only just knowing yourselves. And I think that, you know, when you're aware of that and you have an understanding of what it is that you need out of relationships or whatever, you know, and set those goals or whatever, I think you have a little bit more control. And I think that, Spicy, if I understand you correctly, I think that, you know, you're also touching on the fact that, you know, we have much more control over our world than we maybe really allow ourselves to understand.
Exactly.
And that we can just, you know, shut things down before it goes too far and this and that. And I think that is something that's important, you know, is to be confident in who we are and what we do and why we do it and who we need to make our world work. So I appreciate that. You know, but we're going into a third hour. I'm really okay with it. It's not streaming live right now. The show's not streaming live, but it is continuing to record so that when people come back and check out the archives, they can definitely hear it. And we've got 10 people on the phone line, either lines open or listening. So I'm really okay with continuing if you guys want to stay on the line. But before we go any further, if it's okay, you know, we talk about Monica Monet and her singing, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about the fact, you know, I believe Monica touched on the fact she said, you know, her music heals. Monica, did you say that? Monica Monet, are you there?
Monica.
Okay, her phone's still up. So, so she will tell stories about the fact that her music is her life story, you know, and that her music, she hopes, touches somebody and helps connect, you know, with people and they can feel it or whatever. So I just kind of wanted to know what she was thinking when she wrote this song. So I'm going to play her song, which is going to be on her new CD, Simply Beautiful, and it's called Slow Jam. So did you all feel some healing there?
Yeah, I got healed.
Because I do believe Monica talks about her music healing. Everybody's quiet now.
Where'd everybody go?
I don't know. The lines are all still lit up. Is everybody there?
Yeah, we're here. It was great lyrical content, but I swear I get stuck on "I like the way you make me feel" in my
mind. Yeah, that's
mind.
All the part about that song I heard, actually.
You know what? I always tease Monica because if you were to ever see her perform, and like you said, her song heals, and it does. I mean, even when you're in the setting, you know, it feels like you're in church for a little minute because Monica will almost make it seem like, you know, she seems like she's shouting or whatever, you know, at times, and that's how the setting is. You know, you can actually feel a difference in her music than any other, you know, artist that will probably, you know, sing that night. And so she, yeah, it does.
You can see her live.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I bet it's amazing. I can't wait to see her live. I've seen a few, you know, videos and stuff, and she told me when she went home to Mississippi and performed somewhere, you know, a couple ladies got up and got the Holy Ghost. I was like, yeah. Really? In the club?
Were you shouting up in the night? Did you feel the Holy Ghost?
I talked to her.
Yeah.
She's dynamic. Her live performance is very, very dynamic. Very
exactly.
Dynamic.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm really excited to say Monica is coming up to the Pacific Northwest, and we're doing a mini tour with her, you know, out here in 2012. So I'm really, really excited about having that opportunity to see her perform live. And then, you know, I will be working my way in 2012 down to Jacksonville. So,
cool.
Yeah, again, hey, Long Keith, you know, get ready because I expect to see you perform. I want to see Love Rain perform. And, you know, of course, I want to see Even Steel perform and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, there's some people down there in Jacksonville I want to see, you know, in person. But, yeah, Monica Monet's coming to the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
So I'm excited about that. But anyway, you know what? Okay, before we finish, I don't know if anybody wants to continue talking, you know. Let's see, what do I want to play by Stephen Jerome Ferguson? I think we need to play something of his so you all can, you know. Oh, yes, stay. Yes, Spicy.
I'm back. I had to let my dog out the door. He can do his business, but I'm back.
Oh, well, God, you got to let the dog out to do his business while you on the phone with me? Okay, I don't know. I think we're going to have to talk about you. You know what? I am going to play.
I'm
going to play. Okay, calm down, Spicy. Calm down. Go pet the dog right now. We go and play some Stephen Jerome Ferguson. Okay, this song got Stephen in trouble the first time I played it on my show. So I'm going to go ahead and play it because I haven't played it in a while. I'm going to play Rub It Like That.
I knew you were going to play that.
That should be a good match.
All right, that was Rub It Like That by Stephen Jerome Ferguson, who is also known as Mr. Smooth. So, you know, one of the things that people have said about Stephen's music, and Lady Blue was probably the first person who spoke up about his music. She identified the fact that Stephen's music caused her headache to go away. And, you know, how she was kind of stressed out and this and that, and came to the, one of my shows, and I was playing, I think, maybe Smooth by Stephen Jerome Ferguson, and she was like, it took her headache away, you know, and people have talked about listening to Stephen's music and relaxing to it, you know, and I thought I was, you know, the first time I ever met Stephen, I talked about the fact that his music put me to sleep, and I thought, oh my God, is that like something rude to say? And then I realized, like, okay, that turned out to be a good thing, because I wasn't the only one who said that they listened to their music, you know, as they went to sleep. So, anyway, you got to get a taste of everybody's flavor that has called in on the show tonight, and I'm actually just thrilled. I think this has been a great, great experience to have everybody. And let me just go down the list and just see who's actually still got their hand raised. So we got Hey Lonky. We've got Monica Monet, but I don't know if Monica disappeared. Monica, are you there? Okay, she's not answering. So John D. Green Sr. And then we've got Stephen Jerome Ferguson. We've got Eleanor, who's part of Stephen Jerome Ferguson's team. And then we got Thinking Caveman, who's actually out of the Pacific Northwest. He's up here with me, kind of a ballsy man. And then we got Spicy Ree out of New York on the line with us. So we've got like 31 minutes left. I don't know if you guys want to keep this going or if you're ready to shut it down.
Well, me, I got to get back to work here.
Well, I don't know why.
I'm on the West Coast and it's 8:30 in the evening, so you know I'm getting dinner on the table.
Anybody else want to keep it going, or are you ready to shut it down?
What you cook?
Meatballs with gravy and rice.
Oh, she all of a sudden, did you hear that when food was mentioned, she must chime in.
Huh?
That's sad that all of a sudden we've been talking to you for the last 30 minutes and you want to chime in when TC talks about cooking. Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to call it a night, guys.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in, Stephen.
Not a problem. You guys be good.
All right, brother.
Good night. y'all. Hey, John, you still there? Is John still on?
Yeah, I'm still on.
Yes.
John. Hey, let me ask you something, man. All you got to do is say yes or no. Well, no, I don't want you to say yes or no. You get a chance to listen to that piece.
Yes, I did.
Okay, yes or no?
Not even dumb.
Huh?
Yes.
Yes, okay, all right.
What?
Hold on.
I'm just saying, fire, man.
They must be talking about my piece. I think they're talking in code here, but you know.
What's the word for?
Yeah, my piece is going to be fire.
Fire, man.
Say what now?
How do you extinguish fire?
Then we got the leapfrog to the left.
We go try to work something out.
Okay. Ben, brother. You know
all right,
that.
Man.
So let me know.
All right, I will. Y'all be good.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Hey, think you like a caveman is still on the line?
Steven.
Huh?
I said, thinking like a caveman still online.
Yes, I am.
Thinking caveman is still online.
I'm looking at my house. I'm not going to call me anytime in the morning, so I call. You know,
say that again.
I'm not going to get my hair red. So you know, I'm not going to get my hair red.
My hair wet.
You know what? You know what? TC, you need to go to Monica's page and check out her hair. Her hair is down to her waist now.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why Daddy act like.
Wow.
Look, and you know, she owns the hair.
I do.
Some girls will call you 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
She purchased that hair. Straight up. So.
I'm out for now. I got my football player sitting on the couch waiting for dinner, so he looking at me like, what am I going to eat? So I'm about for now, but call me about 30 minutes from now, okay?
Okay.
Let it go.
All right. Enjoy your night. Who's on the line now?
Oh, so now we got Halon Keith, Monica Monet, Eleanor, and Spicy on the phone.
Spicy. Yes.
Okay, lady, I'm going to leave right now, okay?
Okay, Eleanor, thank you so much for calling in.
A lot of noise in here. Gotta go.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sheila.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Hey. Okay.
Now we know. Now we know where.
Huh? Yeah. We know it's coming from.
Now we know where the noise came from, huh?
Yeah. We know. I'm looking on Facebook, and I see Halon Keith says, "Speak, Monica Monet, that girl talking. What you talking about?"
No, we were talking about loyalty at the beginning.
Oh, okay, okay. I'm behind.
Yeah, it's not like you were preaching, but you know, I had to give you props for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, so Halon Keith.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to read you my piece that I'm going to record, okay, because I'm just kind of feeling myself right now, okay?
Okay.
Everybody else dropped off the line. They don't need to hear it.
Spicy heard it
this morning, and Monica's
heard it before.
But
it's beautiful.
Right. Yeah, okay. But I'm going to read this for Halon Keith, okay?
Okay.
This is my little blurb of artistry.
Cool.
And I'm going to record it, and Stephen Jerome Ferguson is going to produce it for me. So, anyway, it's very short and sweet. shut up, Spicy. it's only love. I love you, Spicy. Okay, so it's called Flavor's Coffee, and it's because I used to own a coffee shop.
Okay.
And the reason I wrote this piece is because a spoken word artist that's up here in Seattle, he had said to me on one of my shows, I would have liked to have drank your coffee, because he missed out on experiencing Flavor Coffee House. So
okay.
I wrote down that line and I said, oh, I got to write something to this particular piece. So this is not like my performing voice, because I'm not a performer. I will practice this before I actually perform it for recording. So.
Yeah.
As I say all that stuff, I'm rambling, huh? Okay, it's called Flavor's Coffee. He said, I would have liked to have drank your coffee, dark and rich, with just the right amount of creamy crema to savor, as melodic jazzy sounds are heard in the distance. Visions of what could have been, or is it what could be, as I, without a thought, grind the beans to a perfect texture. Swirling in the flavor of my own thoughts, I remember experiencing you, a flow of perfection, tone piercing my soul, words that spoiled my heart, and then I heard you say, I would have liked to have drank your coffee. Temperatures reaching the right degree, coming to a halt as I turn off the valve, pouring the beautiful liquids into a vessel perfect for your clutch. An aroma that I know so well and have come to love, my gift to you. In this quiet moment of just us, I open my eyes and I lick my lips, devouring every drop. As I sip the warmth of my thoughts, I hear you say, I would have liked to have drank your coffee. That's my piece.
Wow.
Ooh,
that was good.
Yeah, it was good. I like it.
Sarah, I'm telling.
Yes, Spicy.
I'm a
tell.
You gonna tell?
Uh-huh.
You don't you like my piece about coffee?
I'm gonna tell, flavor. I'm telling
you. You like my what?
It had a little naughty side to it, but it was good.
It's about coffee.
The naughty just came out.
What type of coffee? I served Lavazza coffee.
Good answer.
Wow.
Good answer.
It was very good.
Wow.
It had the most amazing crema, and I don't know if you know anything about espresso, but crema is the creamy caramel-like part of a shot that's pulled of an espresso machine. And that's really important to get a crema on your shots of espresso for it to taste really, really good. And so I know how to pull a very good shot of espresso with just the right amount of creamy crema to savor.
Well, you know what that means, right?
There she go again.
Lady Flavor, you know what that means, right?
What's that mean?
That means next year when I'm in Seattle, Washington, I need you to make me what?
Well, you know what? I'm hoping maybe Castro, he works at a coffee shop that's just like 3 blocks from my house. So maybe he'll let me step behind the bar there and make an espresso.
Okay, cool.
Because I'm a very good barista.
That's
my piece dedicated to Flavor Coffee House.
Yes. Oh, you teasing for now. I'm telling.
Yeah, okay.
Telling too, Spicy. I'm telling too. I'm telling too. I'm second emotion in that.
Okay. All right. Okay, Spicy, you got a piece you gonna read?
No.
No. Wow.
Hey, Lady Flavor, what do Thinking Like a Caveman do? He has a radio, or what do he do?
He's a bossy man. Actually, TC is somebody he's good to know. He has a podcast of a book that he has written.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the spoken word artists up here, Elijah Mued, who's also known as 60th the Messenger, he is the voice for TC's book. And then John D. Green Sr. has played music that is also played on the behind and with this podcast that he's doing. But TC's got his hands in a lot of things. But one of probably the bigger things that he's involved in, he's actually involved in the film industry. And so, you know, besides being a writer, you know, he's a journalist. He's worked with Giorgio Brown, who's one of the bigger people here that documents the hip-hop community in Seattle. He does a variety of things, but the biggest thing that people don't know about him is he's very heavily connected to the film industry, and he's a great writer. So that's him, and he's very bossy. He's somebody that I met through my coffee shop probably in about 2006, and you know, I do call him my mentor. He's been very, very good to me. He's been very supportive. He's very knowledgeable. He has exposed me to things that I have never been exposed to. For instance, he took me to a Toastmasters meeting with him. And I don't know if anybody knows what a Toastmasters meeting is, but it's a group of people that meet weekly to practice their public speaking skills. And then everybody in the room critiques them on different levels of what they spoke on, you know, to the point of like how many times you say and ah, and, you know, did you make eye contact? Was, you know, the words that you chose in your presentation of relevance? you know, did you speak clearly? And they have this whole room, and everybody critiques the person who's up there speaking. And he did not warn me that I would be asked to speak. And that was probably a good thing, because I might have not gone if I knew I was going to be put on the spot. You know, but one thing that I learned from that particular experience that he pushed me into is, you know, I do think that it's made me more conscious, you know, of when I speak. And, you know, because when I first started doing radio, I did do the and ah and this and that a lot. And I think I'm doing better with that. And I think I'm doing better with keeping, you know, a conversation flowing or whatever. So, I mean, he's just a great resource of so much information and everything. So, Kimora, come here for a minute. Oh, you want to sing? Yeah? Come here, Kimora. Come here. You want to sing Gravity? Huh? You going to sing? Okay, sing.
Gravity.
Okay, that was our attempt.
So beautiful, Kimora.
How old is she?
She's three. And she calls Monica Auntie Momo. And she knows, like, Monica's speaking voice, and she knows, you know, Monica's songs. And even, like, I had played a different song for her one day, and she knew, you know, whose voice it is. And every time, you know, Monica, she'll play Gravity over and over, and the part where Monica falls into the sand, you know, she'll say, "Where'd she go? Where'd she go? There she is by the ocean." So she only knows Gravity, and she only knows Get Up, Get Up. And when she sings Get Up, Get Up, usually she pumps her hands up in the air.
Over.
So.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's cute.
Jason, is you going to be able to take off for November 4th, that show we got at the Soul Fox Cafe?
I'm off, actually. I just got school. I just got to, you know what time you're saying? Because I probably can leave early. Hold on, let me see.
I don't know. I get with you. I think it's like 7 or 8.
Hold on. That is Friday.
Yeah.
Friday, right?
You know what? It's funny.
But
it's funny because when I first started Blog Talk, nobody understood me. But as I told you in one of our 5 conversations before, my sister is so proud that I have Blog Talk so that I can have mercy, practice my breathing. So
right.
At times I do get stuck, but it's not because I'm not breathing correctly. It's that
right.
The word, my breath won't push, phony, my words mean so much, understand them as close as I can. I'd rather talk.
Well, I will have to say, Spicy, in the years that I've known you, I think that today, this morning when we were on the phone, it was probably like the clearest conversation that I'd had, because I had no problem understanding everything that you said. You know, so I do think that obviously, you know, tell your speech therapist that your sister up in Seattle said that you're doing great. So I think that, you know, you should, you know, like, I think that I will probably start up, you know, here in the near future, you know, my open mic again, and, you know, call in, you know, to you know, perform some of your pieces. But I think that also, you know, maybe with your permission, you know, maybe you could send me some of your pieces, and it's something I could practice doing and being able to help you put a voice to some of your words, because I think that, your writing is something that people really, really need to be able to experience, because you're just one of the most phenomenal writers that I have ever, you know, come to know. And so I think that you're doing great.
Thank you. Thank
definitely,
you.
Definitely.
It's funny because, like, everyone talking earlier and on the phone about everything that's going on with me. Well, it picks up again. And I finally had I broke in and called my father. And I explained it to him. And he was like, look. Because he had, as well, I read poetry. And he took it very seriously. Now, for those other folks, it's like, it's just so hard to do.
Not
serious about it.
Right.
So it's like, and he has a speech impediment as well. He has a list. But since he has had two strokes, he's much clearer than he was before the two strokes.
Okay.
So, I mean, God works miracles in funny ways.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. No, I agree with you. God does work miracles, you know, and again, you know, from the time that I've met you, you know, to today, you know, your speech today is very, very clear compared to, you know, back then. That's why when I called you this morning, you know, I wanted to make sure I didn't have any grandkids around and no distractions so I could totally focus on you. But, man, you did amazing. And I'm glad that you called into the show tonight too, Spicy.
I had to, because, like you said, if you, okay, here's a secret of mine I got to tell on myself to you. If
okay.
I'm mad and we spoke earlier, or I'm still mad and I know you're still wrong, I'll come to your show. Just to hear your voice, because it's children.
Aww.
Ear.
Aww, thank you so much, Spicy.
I can tell you about when you write and read a piece you just read.
Right.
Ooh, I'm telling, because it's very soothing. You don't think of it as it way. Well, somebody who has a speech impediment, and this is coming from my heart, is very soothing.
Well, I appreciate that, and that I take that with much respect, because you know, I understand it, and you saying that, and I'm honored, Spicy, that you would say something about my voice, because like I was telling you earlier today, sometimes when I go back and I listen to the radio shows, I'm like, oh my God, Susan, you sound so ghetto. Like, is that how your voice really sounds?
But you know, the funny thing is, it's like how we were raised. If you were raised around both sides of your family, I gather you were. But you, if you were in their community and it was mixed, you somewhat knew how to verbally get across what you were seeing without offending anybody. And it shows, because most of the people, like when I met you, that you hung around or Black or after the African American. Let me throw that out there too.
Right. Well, and I was raised in an all black community.
But see, that's how you speak. So a lot of slang
you are a sin rather than people of other ethnicities. So,
okay.
Some people are just, they can't move them. It's just like, I realize that I was around every culture. So, all of them are black. I can be white. I can be quiet too. But,
uh-huh.
You get me going, I'm just going to act like a fool. But I don't
mean
no
harm.
Well,
yeah, I know you can act like a fool. Yeah, I know you can.
I don't mean no harm either. So,
now,
you will have you consider yourself and your upbringing.
Right.
Rather than someone telling you who you are.
Right. I got you. Trying to spit your wisdom at me right now. Okay.
Here she go.
So, hey, Lon Keith and Monica Monet, do you think my voice is soothing?
What do you have a lie for us?
Huh?
You said Evan's busy.
What do you have a lie for us?
Soothing.
It is
nice.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, you have it's like a smooth type voice. I mean, you have a radio.
Smooth voice, but it can be stern too. So, you know, yeah. when you want it to be sexy, it's that.
Yeah, I'm sure she gets stern with them kids around that house.
You work very well with your voice, Lady Flavor.
Oh, okay.
See? I'm your only one.
Y'all's a mess. This was fun tonight, though. I'm glad I was, you know, I'm always surprised, you know, who might call in. And, boy, hey, Lon Keith starting it off. That was just a wonderful surprise.
Hey,
Lon, thanks, Monica Monet, for inviting hey, Lon Keith. So, hey, Lon, is that a South Carolina area code?
Yes, ma'am, it is. I'm actually from South Carolina.
Okay.
I moved here about a year and a half ago.
Okay. Because I was like, okay, I was thinking, I was going through my list of, you know, people in South Carolina, right? I was like, okay, is this like verbal skills? Is this like, you know, lyrical disciple? Like, you know, so I was kind of threw me like, hey, Lon Keith is calling from Florida, and it's, I think, a South Carolina area code. So, okay. Well, I'm glad that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I need to get a Florida number. I just haven't changed over here.
Well, you know, my daughter, she's been back home from San Francisco for a while, and she just recently finally got a Seattle area code number. So, you know, I guess there's just something, you know, about you know, and I think that if I was to move somewhere, I'd probably keep a Seattle area code number for a while, too, before I change it or something. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think tonight was a great show. I think the conversation went well. And I look forward to doing another one. I'm going to do this the last Thursday of each month. And this is just kind of how we do it. Put a topic on the table. Sometimes I start the topic off. Sometimes the artist, depending on who calls in, you know, picks a topic or whatever. But I think it went really well. But, hey, Lanya, you know, I'm definitely open to, you know, talking about your questions about the industry and talking about, you know, royalties and ASCAP and BMI and,
you know
all of those things, too.
What? I thought that's what you were talking about at first. That's why I said royalties. But you were saying loyalty.
Loyalty.
I was driving,
right.
So I really didn't hear that.
That was my West Coast accent, huh?
Oh, okay.
But I do think that for newer artists, and it's really surprising how many other artists who have been at this for a minute really don't know anything about. royalties and what that really means. There are so many artists that are not registered with ASCAP and BMI and do not copyright their music and all of those things, you know, and they've been at this for a while. So I do think that it would be a good topic for an artist roundtable to talk about those type of things because it's something that's important, you know. So, but I am actually going to close out the show, and as I close out the show tonight, you know, again, Spicy and Halon and Monica, thank you so much for hanging out till the very end with me. I'm going to go ahead and close out the show with my family up here in the Pacific Northwest and who Monica is going to be touring with when she comes up here. I'm going to close out with I Love My Life by Black Stax.
I hope he never feels how that felt. But he showed me a few things I can't keep to myself. I'll share them with his grandchild, whom he has never ever met. But I wouldn't change a thing, 'cause that would change everything. You know that I wouldn't change a thing, 'cause that would change everything. Oh, I love my life. Oh, I love my could be someplace else. Someday we'll travel far, my friends, but for today, this is my place. Hey, wouldn't change a thing, 'cause that would change everything. You know that I wouldn't change a thing, 'cause that would change everything.
Everybody who tuned into the Artist Roundtable tonight, and I want to thank, you know, everybody that, you know, hung out on the phones and was a part of the panel. I think this was a great show. We're going to do this every Thursday, the last Thursday of each month. So come back and join us in the conversation. Take care, God bless, and help spread the word about what Flava News Radio is doing for underground independent artists. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.